Now today is a Palm Sunday, and Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a young donkey. And this was the last Passover observance of Jesus. And the entire city came out to him, waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna. Now throughout this week, we call it the Passion Week, the final week of Jesus before his crucifixion. He was in Gethsemane praying with blood and tears and was arrested and he was tried and he was on the Calvary, executed on the Calvary. Now next Sunday is Jesus' Resurrection Sunday, the greatest festival of Christian faith. The door of tomb was removed and overcame. Jesus overcame the power of death, and Jesus showed the living hope of glory that anyone who would put their trust in Jesus, we too will have and participate in that glory. We will celebrate next week, Easter Sunday, with a observing of communion. So please come prepared and pray for that. Now Jesus, the news that he was coming, everybody heard about this wonderful performance of Jesus. Those who came to Jerusalem, we would estimate over 3 million people by the time of this Passover time. People all over the world would come and observe Passover. And they heard these stories, wonderful stories of how Jesus performed miraculous things. And until now, Jesus tried to keep his identity hidden as possible. I mean, he would primarily use himself as a title of Son of Man rather than Son of God, preventing his identity as Messiah and being publicly announced. However, Jesus entering Jerusalem today is a completely different. After Peter confessed that wonderful confession at Caesarea Philippi, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." Now, at that moment, after that, Jesus began to emphasize his identity, who he was. Yes, I am the Messiah. I am Son of God. And from there, he began to teach his coming death and his resurrection. He began to teach a lot of kingdom secrets. It became a full scale after raising Lazarus from his death. Everybody heard Lazarus died, and then Jesus rose him again from life to life, and it was just quickly spread to many, many regions. Powerful, miracle-performing Messiah. He must be someone very special. And this spread very quickly. And as Jesus entered Jerusalem, no, it was a ground turning point, a groundbreaking, a triumphal entry signaled the crucifixion on Calvary. For this momentous event, however, we see a unexpected help from a donkey and the owner of a donkey. After spending his last night in Bethany, Jesus sent his two disciples to early morning to Bethany, and instructing them to bring this donkey, which is fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 5, that 575 years before Jesus was ever born. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, we wonder, why did Jesus ride this donkey as he came to Jerusalem? If Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as the Son of God to enter this Jerusalem, it should have been a royal procession. I mean, he should have come with majestic, you know, dignity, and how the prince or king should come. Riding on a white horse instead of on a donkey. or in a chariot pulled by many horses, accompanied by fanfares, letting people know that this is king. But instead, he made his procession as king on a humble donkey, a young colt. Now show me this picture here. Here we see how Jesus is revealing the Christianity. Christian belief is victory through weakness. While this world pursues power, money, strength, honor, and glory, Jesus consistently showed humility through weakness from his birth to the cross. Today, Jesus entered Jerusalem, and it was perhaps the moment of his earthly life that he received the greatest welcoming, the greatest exaltation, and greatest, highest praise. Now imagine with me, imagine how this would look to the Romans. It would have looked ridiculous and silly and almost a mockery. Why? Thousands and thousands of Jews were flocked and formed a flash mob. They were excited, shouting slogans, and the situation quickly accumulated to uncontrollable. But notice, we wonder, why did the Roman soldiers? They remained silent. I mean, Roman soldiers, they were responsible to keep the security and order of the city. But we don't hear anything about the Roman soldiers. Why? They simply watched. Because from their perspective, it was ridiculous. Thousands and thousands of people were coming and cheering and rooting for this Jesus, so-called king, but it was far from their understanding of a king. In a Roman procession, he would come with loud fanfare, loud shouting of banners, and loud band, singing, praising, honoring this king. But here, they were spreading out branches before him, throwing their cloaks before him. It was ridiculous, and probably they scoffed at calling it beggar king's procession. Imagine now how this would look to the people of Israel. Over 3 million people gathered all over to celebrate Passover, and they heard about the rumors and stories of Jesus. Now, Israel have been, for the past 600 years, been colony for many, many nations. They were colonized under Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Roman Empire. They had a wish. One wish, they hoped for the restoration of national sovereignty, independence, and freedom. And what they heard about Jesus as they gathered, they heard a lot of wonderful, magnificent stories. Dead coming to life, feeding of 5,000 with leftovers behind. The blind came to see, the lame came to walk. The stories they heard, Jesus was a miracle prophet, a doctor, a magician, a humanitarian, truly a man of supernatural powers. Someone shouted, "Hey, Jesus is here. He's coming to the town." The multitude of people went out to meet him and see him. Matthew 21 tells us this: when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. The crowd threw off their cloaks and clothing, expressing their utmost praise, adoration. They broke off palm branches and gave their best welcome. They shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us." The crowd believed and expected that Jesus could give the hope, the desire that they'd been waiting for, to save them, to set them free, and liberating them from oppression and slavery. However, the crowd was not welcoming Jesus as the Messiah to save them from their eternal condemnation and the perishing from their sins. They were cheering and rooting for Jesus to fulfill their request and their desire. Yes, you come to liberate us. You come to release us from this slavery. You know, there are still people today waving their palm branches and rooting for Jesus the same way that they were doing 2,000 years ago. They would wave palm branches fanatically. Yes, Jesus, make me rich. Yes, Jesus, give me the success. Yes, Jesus, open this closed opportunity. Yes, Jesus, give me that inner peace that I desire. Of course, Jesus can certainly answer these prayers, but they are not his primary purpose of coming. Jesus was remote from their expectation, wishes, and hopes that they were demanding. Yes, Jesus entered the city as King of Kings, higher than all the kings and authorities. But he was not the king what they were asking of, what they want him to be. Jesus did not come to answer the crowd's cheer or their welcome. The crowd offered no help to achieve Jesus' plan and his goal. Jesus was not pleased to see and that they finally got it. Oh, now you remember you notice who I am, that I am the king, that I am Son of God. Nuh-uh. Our focus and attention today is not on the crowds of Jerusalem shouting Hosanna. Jesus was not pleased with the multitude of welcome. Now I have another picture here. Then, was there anyone that pleased our Lord? With whom was Jesus pleased with? Who pleased Jesus? The one who threw out their clothes and just put their clothes before Jesus, was Jesus pleased with him or her? Those who are waving the palm branches and welcoming Jesus, was Jesus pleased with him or her? Now, it might surprise you to find who pleased Jesus. We are blessed by the young donkey and its owner, who quietly helped and cooperated with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. So we want to focus on this young donkey and its owner, whom Jesus was pleased with. Number one, first, Jesus was pleased with the donkey. Hey, didn't that surprise you? Now, our text tells us that Jesus ordered to bring that young donkey that never had been ridden before. Now, donkeys, what are they? They carry people or they carry the goods. No one, uses donkey as a pet. However, this young donkey is too young and it has not ridden anything on its back before. Therefore, the colt was not yet useful. No experience or no training. Yet, at this critical, pivotal moment when Jesus desired to proclaim that his kingship as he came into the city, he used this humble young colt, an inexperienced, unskilled, untrained animal. The Lord used an untested, unproven colt that was deficient in the eyes of others. The Lord needs it. The Lord uses it. The Lord calls, uses not only the select and special qualified people like pastors or missionaries. He uses even unprepared, unskilled beast like a colt. I hope you realize the mission that God has called you, whatever you are, wherever you are, whatever capacity you are living your life in. The job, the position, the rank, the title that is entrusted to you. All the tasks that God has placed in your hands and have attached to you. You must give thanks to the Lord that God uses anyone, even a young donkey, who would hold on to God. He can use you even if you yourself feel lack or deficient. Therefore, wherever you are, you must do your best to carry out the task the Lord has given to you in your present now. No matter what you're doing now, no matter what capacity you are, regard that as a placement that God has called you and put you right now. We must serve and minister with all my might as you would to the Lord. Even if you feel that you are out of place, even if you feel that your present situation is far from perfect, don't show reluctance. Don't live disengaged, detached, half-hearted. There are people who live merely killing time, resigned to their fate with thought that there is nothing they can do. I don't know if you've seen this movie. In 1995, there was this movie called Braveheart, and it was inspiring. This main figure, William Wallace, a brave independent activist of Scotland, left some famous quotes. This is one of them. Every man dies, not every man really lives. How can I, as a Christian, really live my life to please my Lord? We must realize the Lord uses exactly as I am. God, you know, Jesus called and used that little donkey, inexperienced donkey. And when we take this stance, the Lord desires and calls me in my current situation, in my current standing. And when we take this stance and believe, we too will be used for God's kingdom, wherever I am. We don't have to be experienced donkey. We can be a useful tool for God's use. Now, secondly, Jesus was pleased with this unnamed owner of the donkey. The owner of the colt, whose name we don't know, is another party involved in this important procession. The Lord sent his disciples and said he would use the colt and the owner will allow the Lord to use it. Now, what is a donkey? In our modern times, it'll be a car or a truck. Let's just hypothetically say, Lord has called you and he would give you this voice in your heart right now as you listen to this message. Hey, you donate your car to the church. You give your valued possession to your church. Would you obey that? Here we see the blessed response by the donkey owner. He must have been disciplined. He must have been trained a life of obedience and stewardship. He was able to offer colt because he lived a life of stewardship. Now, what is the stewardship? All my possessions is not mine. I merely am given a management over it. When the Lord asked me for it, I gladly offer this because this is not mine, but the Lord's. Only a life of stewardship can confess, Lord, all belongs to you. This ain't mine. It's yours. You ask, I give, because it's yours. Life as a steward pushes you to regard that is not yours but belongs to the Lord. Life as a steward makes you grateful when the Lord asks of it. So, how can we please Jesus? Anytime you insist that you are the rightful owner, it'll break your heart when that ownership is lost and gone. Our deemed ownership will be painful whenever the possession departs away from you. Think of money. When money is with you, you're pleased. But when money departs, it breaks your heart. What is the life of a steward? You regard what is with you not as yours, but the Lord's. When we dedicate ourselves to a life of obedience and stewardship, the Lord is honored and he is pleased. When we give what is God's, God will use it to honor and glorify. When we give our time, effort, energy, money, commit ourselves, our gifts and talents to the Lord, our God makes them shine and bright. And may we live as the owner of this colt. When the Lord asks anything from me, Lord, that's not mine, it's yours. May you use it for your glory. The Lord asks us today, can I use that colt? We can joyfully give to the Lord's use, or we can deny, hey, wait a minute, God, not that one, not this one. The decision is made by our daily spiritual training of stewardship. Is this mine or Jesus's? Lord, all this is yours. Nothing is mine. So let us look at this conclusion of the story. Now, Jesus calls us to the work for God's kingdom. The Lord is in the need of colts and the owners of colts today. The colt was used for the Lord. The owner of the colt was used for the Lord. Now, notice the result. Because they have listened and offered to the Lord, there were two blessed rewards to them. First, there is the reward of freedom. The young donkey, which has never carried load or carried a person, might have felt uncomfortable or awkward as he tried to load Jesus on his back. But by carrying Jesus, it gained freedom. The colt was tied to a rope, but as it came to carry Jesus, it was freed. It was liberated from that tie. Those who follow Jesus and have lived their life in defense of Jesus, Jesus, who comes to us as truth and the life and the way to us, this is the promise of Jesus. The truth will set you free. Anyone who would come to Jesus, we will not be tied to our sin. We will not be tied to our guilt of our past. In Christ, we would be free. We would be carrying Jesus and would live a life of freedom. Number two, there's a reward of participating in the glory. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, thousands upon thousands shouted, Hosanna! Of course, the mob shouting was dictated and directed at Jesus. But how could a humble beast, a colt, participate in this kind of honor? I mean, you think about any animal, any colt or any donkeys ever in anywhere in the world have ever received any kind of glory like this. The colt played a big part in the procession. Now also remember the owner of the colt? This unnamed owner is recorded in the Bible so that the churches in history, all the believers would remember this dedication, commitment, stewardship of this unnamed donkey owner. What a wonderful honor to be remembered, participating in the glory of the kingdom, you and I. As we live a life to offer God, yes, I am here, Lord, use it, use me. Whatever is mine, it's not mine, it's yours. So brothers and sisters in the Lord has called us to use us. When I offer my everything to the Lord through obedience and devotion, freedom and glory will also be ours. May we desire to be used by the Lord, just like the young donkey and his owner. I hope that who hear this message today will reflect this meaning during this Passion Week and will resolve once again to live a life of stewardship and dedication to the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us here today in this Palm Sunday. And Jesus is all going downhill from here. And we want to remember Jesus as he gave himself to us. And this week, we want to remember the sacrifice and passion, the suffering of Jesus. And as we meet next week, we will celebrate the Easter Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus is given, overcome all this power of death and evil, that we too live a life of winners victoriously. And help us to remember, Lord, that we need to train ourselves to live a life of stewardship, obedient to your calling. You want to use us, and we want to give ourselves to you. Help us to make that decision, dedicating ourselves to you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen.